Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today. Radio.com.
Radio.com. Your Majesty, you already have the keys to our hearts. I'm not sure exactly what else this key opens, but you should know that every door in this city is open to you and to your teammates. On behalf of all the people of the City of Toronto, the greatest fans in the world, may I simply say directly to you, you are family. You are one of us. This city, and this country love you. And we look forward to seeing you and the whole team back next year to do this again.
I just want to say thank y'all for welcoming me here. After the trade with open arms, man, it made my experience that much better. This group of guys let me do what I do on the floor. Coach Nick let me do what I do. And now we got a championship. Thank you. And like they said, enjoy this moment, and have fun with it. Aha, ha, ha, ha.
Kawhi Leonard saying goodbye to Toronto yesterday.
He said goodbye? Is that
he said goodbye.
Oh, no.
They couldn't
say that.
Couldn't have stroked him any more than they just did.
They basically told
whoever
him
that guy was. Was it the mayor Toronto? Right? Like, hey, this is your city, man. Like, what else? I mean, whatever you want to – I mean,
they're definitely embracing the guy. They're trying everything they can.
You're our guy, man. We love you.
They're embracing him. That's for sure.
And all he could get back was, enjoy this. You don't know when you're going to get another one. So
Woj tweeted out a little while ago, or I guess he was on that first day. He's on right now, the Get Up show in the morning. The focus for Kawhi through sources is the Clippers. It's the absolute focus at this point. Getting the deal done and whatever. He wants to go back home. He's from San Diego, right? I mean,
yeah, he's from the L.A. area, yeah. Which a lot of those guys all are. But, you know, I see it both ways, and it's his right. I mean, he can do whatever he wants.
You'd be heartbroken, though, if you're a Raptor, like, executive or something after
this season.
Yeah,
because they thought if you won a championship, he would
leave.
No
way he leaves, yeah.
And he's going, hey, man, I can't do any more than I just did for your 1 year, you know. And I know you gave up DeMar DeRozan, who's a good player, but – he wasn't getting you what I did. I'm glad we were able to do this, but I'm going back. It's my last chance to get back home and make a lot of money, get back to California. So I could see that side of it and wouldn't be, you know, everybody's thought the Clippers were the front runner the whole time, but I did think maybe it changed a little bit because, man, he'll never get stroked in L.A. like he's getting stroked in Toronto. He's just another star in L.A. Not even – listen, Clippers are never going to be the Lakers.
No,
never.
No. Especially with LeBron and Anthony Davis there. I mean, that's a different story, too.
You look up at the retired names for a Laker – and by the way, they play out of the same arena. Yeah. But you look at the jerseys in one and the
it's
other.
Ridiculous.
They have nothing in common.
Who's retired for the Clippers?
So, I'm curious to see how this whole thing is – yeah, I don't know. You got to go back. Because, first of all, they were San Diego for a long time.
That's right.
So yeah. I'm not sure.
Maybe that's what he's hoping for. Go back to the Clipper land. We move back to San Diego.
They're
going to
share that beautiful arena.
Staples, right?
Yeah. That's going to be where they are. Hey, so anyway, we got all that stuff of going on here. I got to say this. Manny Diaz, every time we turn around, gets another verbal commitment. And it's just a verbal commitment. But he's getting some out-of-state verbal commitments now. And he got a linebacker yesterday. The one position with the three linebackers all coming back and all going to be gone, the one position that I thought they'd be able to load up with some of the top linebackers in the country, because for a lot of these guys, about coming and playing right away.
Sure, of course.
There's going to be some linebackers come in and start next year that are true freshmen. I'm not saying all of them, because you got guys on the team have more experience. But you're going to have a lot of guys that they sign that are going to come in and start just like these, by the way, just like these three did.
That's right.
They came in day one.
That's right.
And they were like, go get them. You guys are up. And they're all going to get drafted if they stay healthy. Probably drafted fairly high, which is good for business.
Great for business.
So I'm not, you said it too, like, I'm not surprised, Joe, of all the positions.
Well, if I'm a linebacker around the country right now, I'm a 3 or 4 or 5-star guy. I mean, obviously 5-star, you have your pick of whatever you want to go to, but you literally are going to sit behind three guys, play a little bit here and there, and then it's your position next year.
And
it's yours.
And Manny can get the kind of linebacker he wants, whatever style he's looking for when they're recruiting. So good for him, man. Good stuff.
Corey Flagg, 3-star prospect out of Houston. He was the story yesterday.
Houston's a good little football area. Well, Texas in general is, but we talk about Dallas area mostly. But Houston's had some really, really good players coming out of that area as well. It's a big football area.
You know what's amazing also when these guys take pictures now, when they put them in these stories or whatever, when they put it on Twitter, social media, all the Hurricane guys now are wearing the chains. Like, he's wearing both of them. He's wearing the first one that came out and the second one that came out. That is, it's such a good selling point.
Where that gaudy chain is there for a celebration. So Manny's talking about trying to do something for offense, right?
Yeah, like a touchdown chain or something like that.
I wouldn't do it. I'd leave it alone. Yeah. I wouldn't do anything for offense. I think you overdo it.
Well, it would be.
I think you just leave the offense, leave it alone. You got something. You hit a jackpot on it.
A home run.
And nobody's been able to match it. Lunch boxes to helmets, you know, hard hats. What they people laugh at them. Some of them look silly. Some
look
stupid.
Look what Florida State did. They tried to come out with their own thing and they got mocked all year.
So
came out with a purse.
I don't think there's anything you can do. Like, man, you hit a home run on this thing you came up with to hit the whole thing for the school, for the community. It was a home run.
Solo D did a song.
But do not leave it alone. My thought is there's nothing you can do. And you don't want to overdo it. You got one cool thing for your defense, which has been this team's been about the last couple years of defense.
Yep.
So just get your offense going. Keep it special for those guys who got to run around and make hits and intercept and force fumbles and all that stuff. But don't – I don't know. What are you going to do? I was thinking last night.
Can't do another chain, right, or anything like
that.
It'll be bad.
We're chained out, man. You got the chain. There's no chain can match the chain.
What can you
the
do
turnover
for a
chain.
Touchdown? That would be, you know,
there's
equivalent
nothing.
To the turnover chain.
There's nothing you can do.
I don't know. You know what we're doing. We're tempting people on the text machine.
No, you can. You can do it because he said he's coming up with something like, man.
What about touchdowns over 30 yards, someone said? Long touchdowns.
What are you going to do?
I don't know.
I mean, that's great, but
I
what are you going to do?
Ideas.
So, big play, UM big plays.
Oh, like a big play.
What are you going to do?
I don't know.
Come up with some team. You got to do something. You got a few seconds to do it on the sideline. What are you going to do?
I'm out. I got nothing. Big play something.
Is there anything with all the celebrations? Nothing left.
A belt.
A belt? That's original.
I don't know.
Nobody's done the belt. That's good. A big gaudy belt with diamond and bling everywhere.
A Gucci belt.
I just think you got something that's cooler than anything else.
You do.
You don't have to do anything else.
We got to have Manny on. We got to get Manny on. We got to ask him. But the thought process is.
My thought is don't do anything.
Because he said there is something. He said he had something or has something ready. Like last time he was on with us, he said it.
Now, Manny ain't come up with this on his own. He's got to have somebody. Like Manny's, there's no way he's this good on social media by himself. Uh-huh. I ain't buying it. He just comes up and does it himself.
Why not?
He gets some help. No, because he's a friggin' head coach and got 9,000 things on his plate. Mm. He's getting help on social media. We found out Dwayne, you know, I go, man, Dwayne's really good. And the guy shakes my hand and goes, yeah, nice to meet you. Oh, you're Dwayne's social media guy.
Yeah, he's got 9 guys working for him.
You don't think Manny's got somebody helping him be that good on social media?
I want to think not. Can you just let me think that he's by himself doing it? Let me just think that.
So the guy's got all these things on his plate and goes, guys, hold your thoughts. I got to go over here.
I got a tweet.
And he sits down and he gets all the creative stuff and the crazy stuff you can do on your phone and puts ears on him and has touchdowns floating across the guy's head. And
you should see these suggestions coming up.
What do you got?
Touchdown chair. Only guys who score a touchdown can sit in the chair. Set of keys to a Rolls Royce. I believe that might be an infraction. Yeah. I'm just throwing that out there, sir. I don't mean
you're
to poo-poo anything. Yeah.
You can't do that.
Don't they blow off a cannon when a touchdown is scored? If not, just do that. Play the game. Stop the antics. Oh, dude, yeah. That guy's in.
I agree with them. Yeah.
Gold-looking cleats for a series after a touchdown.
Come on. By the way, if I want to see the cannon, I'll go up to Tampa Bay. It's fun to watch. Yeah.
What about a chain for punts inside the 20 or made field goal? People are not making fun of last year's team. The whole point was the offense already gets the highlight
reel.
That's
actually funny. I know. Three and outs.
That's it.
Let's do something for three and outs.
We just had a 42-yard punt. Yeah.
You just had three and out in under a minute.
Yeah. That's right. Leave the turnover chain. When you get the turnover, the offense gets the ball. That's what you get. They get the ball. When they score a touchdown with you, you hand them a bowling trophy. That'd be funny. Having an iron throne like of Game of Thrones. You sit on the throne after you score a touchdown.
That's the closest thing we've come to.
Oh, here we go. Another infraction. A briefcase full of cash that you open after the touchdown because you're going to get paid. There you go. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Touchdown throne. Game of Thrones.
Hey, I love Zach's over here thinking about, that's an infraction.
That's an infraction.
We're going back on probation on that one. Ain't no way. It. I can just see Manny, too, and sitting down with the AD going, oh, no, that's too close. Mm. That's got infraction all over it. No, not that.
I think they should just assign the U-chain to defense and Sebastian to offense. Since they have the two chains. Switch it off every year or something.
Let's just leave it the way it is. And how about the offense? Just score points, do a little celebration, and let's get off the field.
Junior in Hollywood says, offense maybe create tradition of playing like Trick Daddy, take it to the house after every score. Same song after every score. All Miami. Okay, that's
so we're going to give them some music?
I mean, just music, huh? I think they need more than that. Someone said, let Manny do his thing. Both of you shut up. Okay, thanks. Stripper pole. Oh, that's an infraction.
We try to help him. No, we can't do stripper pole. We can't do anything that might give us the feel of the old days of trouble.
Beat up the Al Golden pinata once you score. Have it in the end zone. Just a pinata with a dude with an orange tie on. He's just going to beat it up. Well done. That might be the best one so far.
You bunch of clowns, man.
The turnover chain is the foundation for the U. Leave it alone. Stand on the foundation. Diamond encrusted baseball bat when they score a home run
you
touchdown.
Guys.
God.
You guys are too much.
What else is in here? Yeah, the briefcase of cash is from the Ted DiBiase, like the wrestler.
All right. Listen, we're going to go to break. We're going to get back with our killer bee.
Got to hold them? You buzzed them? You buzzed the bee? Touchdown crown. Doesn't Boise have a turnover thrown? They do. So we can't steal that. How about a touchdown dunk?
Hey, this is a terrible idea. Stop it.
Turnover thrown.
The only one I liked is Al Golden.
The you Al Golden pinata.
You get
right
to
now
punch Al Golden.
Hire a stripper. Lap dances after every touchdown.
Nah,
no, that's
on.
An infraction. Pee on the mascot. Infraction. Touchdown dunk. Candy green 73 Impala that's decked out. They get to sit in it after they make a big play. Yeah, it's good. Touchdown ring.
All right. Can we go to break?
How about just beating that redneck Clemson team?
Yeah. Hey, but I will tell you guys, thank you for trying.
Yeah, no, it was
but
good.
About 85% of, no, higher than that. 95%
infraction.
Of them were not
infraction,
very good.
Yeah. Briefcase with Monopoly money.
No.
Yeah, that's cool.
How about just like, I agree, let's just like let the offense just do what they're supposed to do and just score and act like we score a lot and score a lot and let the defense have the show. The game's offensive enough if it's run properly in college football, right? Let the D have their time. Turnover chain. We got to go to break here. I believe
we got the winner.
Our killer. I believe
coming
we got
later.
Our killer B.
You do? You got him?
I think we got a
All
killer
right,
B with
fine.
Us. Radio.com. Radio.
right, we're going to head out to the Toyota of Hollywood hotline. Shop over 1,500 Toyotas indoors in one of America's largest showrooms at Toyota of Hollywood on 441 between Hollywood and Sheridan. The Killer Bee Summer Tour continues.
Killer Bee history.
And I just found out who we have on the line right now. We spoke to Glenn Blackwood the other day. He told a lot of good stories and mentioned his brother and a bunch of them. We bring him on now. Lyle Blackwood joins us, one of the Killer Bees this morning. Lyle, good morning. Welcome to the show.
Good morning, Joe. Good to be here.
Lyle, man, thank you so much, man. We, your brother was in rare form the other day. Took it to a whole new level, and of course, Lyle, I told you last night, I said, you know, I can't. When your name pops up, either with Bo Camper or Marino, because they always have stories about you, I just start crying with the stories. Do you realize you were in the middle of about half the pranks that took place on those Killer Bee teams?
Well, yes, I do. I had to keep a level of humor and looseness going on around the team that kind of countered Coach Shula.
Yes, it did. Yes, it did. Nobody did it better. All right, we got to get going. First of all, Marino did an event the other night, and he talked about his first start at the Orange Bowl after he played in a few games, and he said he was really nervous and getting ready to go up. Do you remember what you said to him? Because he remembers like yesterday, you were the guy that walked up to him with a straight face.
Well, I basically told him the game, this whole game and his whole career was based on this, on his shoulders, and that he had to go out there and win. So.
He said he just looked at you and you gave him a straight face like everything's on you, dude. If you don't play well in this game, your career's done.
Yeah.
What made you think of that? Like, you knew how nervous he was. He's getting ready, and thank God he went on to have a Hall of Fame career. But Lyle, like, he just said of all the things that stuck with him, besides the fact you were involved in stealing of the shoulder pad story, which was phenomenal story, yeah. But that was a great one. Hey, can we get into some of my favorites? Because when I think of Lyle Blackwood, I do have some favorite ones. There was a time we're playing the Kansas City Chiefs, and one of the few times during the game when the defense was on the field, you were standing next to me as the tight end was running to the corner wide open with nobody around him in one of the best red zone defenses in the league. Can you help me out?
Yeah. Well, it was the best red zone defense minus Lyle Blackwood. I was supposed to be on the field, and I wasn't on the field. We'd gotten kind of crossways with who was coming in at linebacker, and the linebacker was coming in was Brzezinski, and he always when he came in for me, he would come in and I would go out. But he came in for another linebacker, and I didn't understand that, and so I came off the field, and sure enough, they ran that play, and Shula goes, "Whose man is that?" And I went, "Mine." That was the wrong answer. I should have just played it into the group and everything, and let them figure it out. So that's when, you know, because he was vicariously playing through me at that time, and so he was getting mad at himself, and it wasn't a pretty sight out there, and that was my first exposure to the wrath of Don Shula on the sideline, which my brother Glenn had warned me about, and I just kind of blew it off, saying, "No, it always happens." To everybody in the league, I understand. I'm a veteran. I've been around for a long time. This, you know, I'm used to this kind of stuff, and I was not used to this kind of stuff at all. And so, Wayne came off the field, and he looked over at the bench, and I was steaming. This steam was coming up out of my uniform, and I was unbelievably ticked that I could be abused so much.
One thing about it.
Up one, as my mom used to say, he went up one side and down the other.
Yeah, as I was told my rookie year, like, he's going to get everybody. At some point, everybody on this team will feel it, and they were telling the truth. I got to tell you, my favorite story of all time, He's no longer with us, but Robert Solwell coming in and putting his clothes on late with the jock strap and the shorts and getting ready to run into that meeting and watching you load up on that icy hot liquid that you stuck in that jock. I mean, that thing was super wet. One of the greatest pranks gone wrong I've ever seen.
Well, that trick never worked anymore because everybody always knew to go in and grab their bag and smell it all the time. And you know, that was the oldest trick down the pipe. But the problem was Robert Solwell was late that day, and so he didn't bother. He threw away all the proper protocol, and went right into grabbing his bag and pulling his jock up on him. And as soon as he put it on, and he went, "Oh my gosh."
And so we heard
his howls from the shower. This was the second best thing you do in the proper protocol for getting out of something like that. You go to the trainer room and wipe that, and you don't go to the shower and put water on.
Oh, it's so much worse. Yeah.
Fire. And so we heard his screams from the shower, and we're laughing during the specialties meeting. Yeah.
Hey, is that true? Did Shula call you in? I mean, was he was pretty upset. That was a prank gone wrong. Yeah. What was that like?
Yeah. Yeah, that was Shula went up in one side and down the other on that one too. That was the second time. I was kind of used to it, and plus, it was my fault. So because he thought Robert was going to be, you know, he didn't want anybody missing practice, and Robert was going to miss practice as well he should, because he was a very healthy young man at that time, and he's well endowed in that area too. So
that covered a big area, is what you're saying.
Yeah, he was definitely wounded. So.
I got to tell you, nobody. And then Glenn was telling us the Mike Charles story about him running out on the field, had him thinking he was out there for special teams. He ran out there and got in the middle, and he wasn't supposed to be out there. You know how Shula took mental mistakes, or when you didn't go out with the right group, there was just no excuse for that. And Big Mike was, you know, he wasn't always quite there, if you know what I mean. And you guys got him good, and he got his ass chewed so badly. Like, how do you think of that kind of stuff that used to come up with on the sideline at the end of games? That was brilliant.
Well, you're out there and you're in the moment, you know, and you're all keyed up anyway, so you're thinking really weird stuff anyway. So, you know, it just, I don't know, it just happened. I just jumped at the chance to get it done, you know. You know, and it just, the game is a serious game, and it's business and everything, and you need to look at it as business. But there were times where it wasn't going to hurt anything to have a little levity in there. And so I just, you know, when a chance came, I took it. So it was just like that, being on the sideline. You know, you were so serious all the time. I just wanted to have a little fun.
You did. Like, there is no question. By the way, who came up? Somebody came up with the powder in the helmet all the time, and it got me. And most of the time I was paying attention, but sometimes, and put the damn helmet on while you're stretching and getting ready to start practice, and you're going, oh, no. Feel the sweat in my eyes, and my eyes are burning.
I can't take credit for that. That was one that was pretty old, down the fly camp thing. I did take credit for the one where I would tell the rookies that there was a lady that was, her husband was out of town, and she was, you know, very, very friendly. And, you know, if we wanted to go there, you could, you know, I have some extra curricular activity and everything. And so they would, this is one of the better pranks that I did. And a lot more
immature. Yeah. Good. Yeah.
Yeah, immature and sophisticated, both at the same time. I would go walking up, and I'd have a plant in this abandoned house, and in the plant we would be walking up, and they would be all keyed up about, you know, getting up there and everything. And usually they got real dressed up, and shaved and everything else for the thing. Got their best cologne on, and so when we'd be walking up this road to this house, this dark. It would be a band house. It would be dark. this guy would step out with that hat on and a trench coat on, and a shotgun would blank in there, and he'd shoot a couple in the air. Of course, I would fall down. You know, I'm good. Hit the ground. And they would always take off through whatever. I mean, we had a couple of guys went through cactus and jumped over popeye. We're running through the woods, and we didn't see them for 2 hours later. We couldn't find them. Until we found them walking up the road with their shirts and their clothes torn and kind of bewildered and everything. So that was a good one also. That was one of my finest efforts.
You had some classics, you and that brother of yours. You know, kind of lost in everything. You had 35 picks in your career. You had 10 one season, 1977. And I went back, and you know, it was funny, the play, and I think a lot of people listen right will remember, Monday Night Football and the Orange Bowl, which was magic. You were a big part of that night. We got a 10-10 game, Monday Night Football against the Eagles, and Jaws must have called timeout or walked away like 10 times in a row, and Shoes is getting mad. You guys are screaming. The crowd refuses to do less. And then the next thing you know, you pick the ball off. We go on to win that game 13-10. That's got to be one of the top moments, right? Even going back, that was one of the great games to watch for Monday Night Football.
Yeah, that was a great game, and I was very proud to be able to get that pick, and it was just because of the great teaching of Arnsbarger, of him just in the film room and everything, and Glenn and I studying, and you have to become a real student of the game and be more businesslike, and I've attributed that to the rise in my game, because I looked at it at first, I was just playing around with the game and kind of seeing what it could do for me rather than what I could do for it. And so the Orange Barter was a really step up, and Coach Shula was too. I mean, very disciplined practice all the time, a very disciplined approach to the game. And Orange Barter was just a very cerebral coach who taught us that we needed to be real students of the game and each team that came in.
Right.
And so I at that part of the game, I just said, hey, he's going to go to Harold Carmichael. That's who his go-to guy is in this, and they need this. And so I was ready for it. So we did.
Oh, you jumped out like a bad boy right there. You jumped all over that one for an interception. Lyle, I got to tell you the one, and it's so funny because just about as many memories of you as any, walking on the sideline and guys circled around you, and I remember walking over to go, what the hell? This is kind of weird during the game. You apparently broke your nose. And then I look and I go, okay, it's not the first guy to break his nose. Then I see friggin' doctor sticking a needle to numb your nose so you could play. And I thought, Lyle, you're a crazy. There's something wrong with you. You're a crazy bat. That was crazy. Tell me about doing that deal. You didn't even go inside. Yeah. You just put a bunch of big guys around you.
Well, that was Glenn's fault, because Glenn blew a coverage, and I covered for him. And it was Roosevelt Leaks in Buffalo, and came over. Ferguson saw him, and he was going to be a touchdown. And I came over and saw it, and we collided, and his face mask, the middle part of the face mask came between the top of my helmet and my face mask, and just repositioned my nose. It was a compound fracture of my nose. And actually, when I played another play, I recovered a fumble. Glenn hit the guy, and I recovered the fumble. And so we came off to the sideline, and I took my helmet off, and Bruce Hardy looked up and fainted. Because my nose was bleeding so bad, which I was glad that he did. So it's worth something. I'm going to be able to stab at him for the rest of his life without fainting. They gave me a shot there, and then I played the rest of that, and I went inside to the training room, and they gave me another shot, and then they put the sticks up there and pulled it back in place, and then I went back out for the second half.
It was, of all the guys that took needles for every part of their body, and we had some guys take needles places that they would never do in today's game. But I got to tell you, that was one that, like, there were a lot of guys that were pretty tough dudes that were going, he's not doing what I think he's doing. There's no way the doctor's doing that. Like, there's no way. And then I go, yeah, if it's Lyle, then it definitely – can you imagine that?
No,
one?
No, I can't. Lyle, I got to jump in here for a second. I've been around Joe for a little bit of a decade plus here on the radio, and was he as bad an influence on the team? Because he tells all these stories, yet when you guys come on and we do this Killer Bee tour like over the summer – he never really mentions the parts that he's in. Like, he never told us about the Marino shoulder pad thing when he actually made the ransom call. Like, he didn't – he acts like he's the innocent one. He couldn't have been the innocent one on that team,
I
right?
I loved this guy's pranks. They were classic.
Well, he wanted to be a part of it, so we let him, we let him be a part of it. We'll throw this bone to Joe and let him get it. He'll get the – And we needed to pass it on all the time to somebody else. But it was a great prank and a great call. And then we were just laughing our butts off in our room when Joe did that. That suburban stew comes flying up into the parking lot, kind of. Screeches the deal and jumps out. We see people, scurrying over there across the equipment room, about what was going on. But that was just classic. We vowed silence. we didn't tell anybody because we knew we would be on wafers. If anybody ever found out about that, especially Coach Shula.
Hey, I got to ask you the final one because you're like all of us. Like, hey, I can take it. My dad was pretty tough, and I could take anything. My dad was old school, or my relative, the way I grew up. So, like, I'm used to it. Did the Coach Shula stuff, did it even surprise you a little bit, the way you could be talked to after a mistake? Did it even surprise you? You've been around a lot.
Yeah, I guess it's because I looked up to him so much and everything, and as we all did, because he just had, had this aura about him, and I wanted to play for him too. When I was with the Baltimore Colts, I said, man, I'd like to play for that guy. And I still would play for him. I would just, sometimes you don't like to be talk to that way. You're a 34, 35 year old man, and you're getting your butt chewed out. So you're kind of like, okay, I'm not as big as I thought I was.
I can remember your face. Anytime anybody got riffed, I couldn't wait to see their face, no matter how old they were. That look was just priceless, man. Of like, I can't believe he talked to me like that.
Yeah. We always really avoid it, but you'd rush up like it was an accident going to happen. You'd rush up real quick, wanted to get the scoop you wanted to be the first to see the. The guy get his butt completely chewed out, and you kind of walk away, kind of satisfied, like, okay, well, yeah.
Now I feel better. But when you got the double, when you got it on the field, and then you got it in film study, that was called the double chewer. That was beautiful, man. When you got in and you were as mad the second time, like, he friggin' got me again. I just thought about it all day on the off day, and I got ripped friggin' again by the guy.
Well, yeah, it's like a death, there's a mourning period and then a kind of anger period and all that. And so in the game, you kind of go through that after the game and everything, and you cool down and you go, okay, it's going to be over with. I just got to work through this and everything, and you go to counseling that. And then you go into the meeting on Tuesday, and there it is, bam! It hits you again. You gotta go spend another $100.
Yeah, right. go talk to the counselor again.
Oh,
Lyle, this has been great, man. I appreciate you getting up from Texas with us this morning and sharing a little bit. You are special,
classic,
man.
Yeah.
Thank you so much, Lyle. I appreciate it.
Well, you're appreciated. Thanks, Joe.
All right, Lyle Blackwood.
Wow.
Oh, man. I just can't.
Those are some good stories.
I can't get enough, man.
I mean, those are
you can tell he was real low-key doing it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Play hard, but you got to keep things loose. He was probably more affected by – now, listen, I was too. I ain't going to lie to you. Like, he used to get – when I got ripped.
The chewings?
Yeah. They lasted like – they were 24 hours to get over.
I believe
it. But whatever I didn't do it again. We got to go to break.
Wow.
We'll come back and check in on the text machine right after this.
Radio.com. Radio.com.
And welcome back here. We continue on. I want to thank Lyle Blackwood for coming on. The oldest of the Killer B7. That's on the posters. Great to hear from him. He's in Texas. He's not around. He's got grandkids around him. So got a little time to hear stories. I don't know. There was something that we all enjoyed when somebody else got their ass chewed.
Well, he said it perfectly.
And very seldom it was done like he when shoes, he didn't hide anything. Like, if you got it, there's a chance you get it in front of everybody.
Sure. But Lyle said it perfectly. He said it was kind of like when there's a car crash. And everyone wants to go and see what's going on in the car crash. So when you guys knew that somebody was about to get their, you know, their ass chewed out by Don Shula, everyone kind of congregated near there because you knew it wasn't you, but you wanted to hear it. It's a car crash. It's a perfect description of how you've explained it over the years, how Doop and Clayton, when they come on, would explain it, how all the Killer Bees that we've had on so far would explain it, Dwight would explain it.
But Lyle, perfect. But Lyle was the guy.
But Lyle got a bad.
Lyle got a bad, but he would come back for more. But one of the best stories is, like, can you imagine? So Marino, literally his first start in the NFL, he's in the Orange Bowl. He's just played really well. Coming in at the end of games against the Saints and against the Raiders. So now, played really well on Monday Night Football against the Raiders and everything. So he's named the starting quarterback his rookie year. And he's jumping up and down. And Lyle, like, what makes Lyle go over to him before Danny goes out on the field and he says, hey, everything with this team is going to be on your shoulders.
It's a lot of pressure.
How you play today, well, how you're going to play in your whole career.
It's a lot of pressure.
Like, he literally, and Danny tells a story, just looked at him like, you know, just seconds from going, like, right, they kick off, and then Danny's out on the field, and he looks at him, and, like, what veteran player does that? Now, Danny knew, like, Lyle was a prankster, right, by then. He
I would
probably had a pretty
so,
good
yes,
idea,
yeah,
like, yeah. Hey, and you can hear how dry Lyle can be, like straight.
Oh, but he tells
he's
the story.
He goes,
yeah.
Hey, I just want to let you know, everything and how you play is how our season's going to go. And we just lost the last couple of games. And he's like,
I can't even imagine.
He goes, and then he tells me today, he goes, does Marino ever thank me for his Hall of Fame career? He goes, I got him motivated.
You should have mentioned it.
Because, you know, Danny came out. I think we lost the game, but he had a great game for the first game, and everybody went, uh-oh, that dude's really good. But, yeah, he was he had a ton of great stories, he and Lyle. But
the people like it, by the way.
What do you got coming
you,
in?
You always ask, quickly. You know, after we bring one of those guys on, what did everyone think? But there's a good consensus. The Kendall Toyota and West Kendall Toyota text line is 560-22, 56022. The one of Lyle's voice telling the stories is perfect. I can only imagine his facial expressions telling them, thanks for bringing on the old players and the great teams we had. Awesome interview with Lyle Blackwood. Keep interviewing those former Dolphins, and I love the Joe Rose stories, too. The stories are priceless. We should have had them at the luncheon. At our QAM luncheon that we had the other day at Margaritaville.
You know, the problem is, like, you got to make sure you want to, because they're all clean versions.
No, no,
you
no.
Can't curse on.
We need an uncensored kind of version of this stuff where guys could go out there and curse and do their thing and tell the stories the way they should be told.
I like
different it, for the radio.
Because Shula ripped me a couple times, and I deserved it when it was. It was usually for poor play, but it was the sting. It didn't like go, okay, he's done, and it's over. Because when you haven't had your ass chewed like that, it lasted. And Lyle goes, I wasn't used 34, 35, even though Glenn warned me, you're going to get your ass chewed.
Glenn told us that the other day. Yeah.
And he goes, until you have it done, you have no idea. And then you start looking for others to have it done to them so you could they could share your pain.
I like it. Thanks for the Blackwood interview. I remember that Orange Bowl game versus Eagles. I went to YouTube to see if it was posted. Yep, great memories. Keep up the great work, guys. Love the interviews. And yeah. I never realized Lyle was on the inaugural season of the Seattle Seahawks. Somebody texted in.
Lyle had a really – you know Lyle and Glenn? And we don't talk about this anymore. They had 60-something interceptions between them.
Wow.
Like those guys, people, oh, they were – no. They were really, really good players. Mm. All those guys. Those killer bees, man. They were better than bees. Yeah. Those guys were A's.
That was a good team. Let's see. Hey, guys, shame that that team with the killer bees didn't win the Super Bowl. Yeah, looks like they were really close, man.
Shoot.
Yep.
Shoot, man. Gonna bring that up. Shoot.
I wish we could hear in verbatim how Shula would rip somebody. Too bad Hard Knocks wasn't around back then. Can you imagine?
Let me just say this. Shula would never.
Like Belichick.
My gut feeling has never had it.
Belichick doesn't.
If they would have gone to him, he would have told the commissioner, matter of fact, not only am I not going to have it, your office is going to have it. And the commissioner would have said, yes, sir. He would never had that thing for that reason.
Yep.
Nobody wants to see.
No. I want. Actually, I do. I want to see Belichick and I want to see Shula on those things. I just know that it would never happen.
Does anybody remember Jaws back in the Orange Bowl, like calling all those friggin'?
It's on YouTube. People are telling me.
He kept walking away and like, snap it! It's loud in the Orange Bowl, man! It's crazy.
Good job. Good job getting the Blackwood brothers on. It's really good stuff. Brew was good, too. So
where's everybody want to go next, man? We got more bees.
You got to keep surprising us, man. You've done a good job so far surprising everyone here on the show and all the listeners.
Let me tell you, this great storyteller is our Saturday night storyteller. And by the way, he can just add stuff onto the stories and he makes them better. He takes peanut butter and jelly and he just puts extra peanut butter on it every time out. Mr. Kim Bocamper.
Yeah, might have to go Bo next.
Radio.com.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.